Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 symptom support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org. We're also supported by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
I'm Leonida Inge. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, not your guinea pig. The arrival of a vaccine to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 was something to celebrate a few weeks back. But now it's dawning on many people, access is an issue. If you're eager for a shot or two in the arm, you'll have to take your place in a long line. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends the first people to get the COVID vaccine should be health professionals, followed by those living in long-term care facilities. Then comes the frontline essential workers, you know, like your police officers, postal workers, teachers, and so on and so on. One demographic marker that hasn't made its way into CDC recommendations is race. But I've reported on the disproportionately high number of Black people getting sick and dying from COVID-19. So why shouldn't that be a consideration? Here in North Carolina, where I live, 20% of those testing positive for COVID-19 are Black. So far, only 10% of those getting the vaccine are Black. 81% are white. It's true that many Black people had to warm up to the idea of even getting tested. That number includes yours truly.
Yes. Is this your first time getting tested?
Yes.
All right. Just to let you know, this is not the one that does hurts, okay?
Okay.
The one that hurts goes in the back of your nose. This one just goes in the front, okay?
The back front of my nose?
Yeah, this just goes in the front, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
No.
Trust me, it's not gonna hurt. It's not gonna hurt, trust me.
Okay.
It's not gonna hurt. This is it. That's all. It's just this.
Okay.
And then on the other side.
Okay. Thank you.
See, it wasn't bad.
Now it's time to warm up to the idea of getting vaccinated. But to reach that level of comfort, we have to address a justified fear of the healthcare establishment that exists for many of us. Just Google Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment. Or check out an episode of this podcast from June called Taking Testing to the People, if you're unfamiliar. Black folks have suffered from unequal access to health care, being mistreated and lied to by the government and practitioners for generations. None of that stopped Faye Williams from being one of the first people in North Carolina to get inoculated with the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine.
I knew I was going to do it. I felt very confident that I was safe. I felt that the medication and the trials had been vetted and that we were at a good time and it was time to go in and get it done.
Faye is a 67-year-old retired nurse who came back to work during the pandemic. She screens patients at a Duke Health System clinic. She's a graduate of North Carolina A&T State University, a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. And these days, she is sort of a celebrity all over the media because she didn't hesitate to get the vaccine.
People are stopping by the clinic because, I'm in the lobby. It's a great big area. Some of the patients recognize my face. And they stop by to see how I'm doing. I've had coworkers who come through just to see if I'm telling the truth. Are you really okay? I've had people approach me, no true story, in the grocery store, in the pharmacy, and just yesterday at Costco, this guy walked up and said, "You're the lady that got the shot." I said, "I am."
So do you think people either in your community, at work, or even in your family have said they want their shot now because you have actually gotten the shot?
I have a text message I got just today. This young lady texted me and said, "Are you still doing okay?" She said, "Because I was thinking about getting mine by the middle of the year. And because of you, I think I'm going to go ahead and get my injection." And I wouldn't advise anybody to wait, because this virus is not going to wait. So I think if the opportunity comes up, I think people should talk to their primary care doctor to weigh out their options. And I look at it as, you know, COVID vaccine, ventilator, oxygen, hospitalization. To me, the COVID vaccine wins out every time.
Faye Williams is also a member of St. Joseph AME Church in Durham, where she spreads the word about getting tested and vaccinated. Nashville, Tennessee is home to one of the oldest historically Black medical and dental colleges in the country, founded in 1876. The president of Meharry Medical College made a social media splash with this video.
"Really, by doing what we're doing, social distancing and not being vectors, we're actually protecting a large segment of our society. So each one of us can play a big role in saving lives by taking care of ourselves, we're actually taking care of each other. And that's what this is really all about."
Dr. James Hildreth isn't just president and CEO of Meharry.
"I'm also an infectious disease researcher, and I currently serve on the FDA advisory group that reviews and approves the COVID-19 vaccine."
Meharry Medical College is seen as a trusted space for Black health professionals and the Nashville community surrounding it. So when Meharry's president says, "Get a COVID test, get the vaccine, wear a mask," people listen. Now I have to ask you, have you been inoculated yet?
"I have been. I got the Moderna vaccine, the first shot. I get the second shot on Wednesday."
I guess there was a COVID vaccination trial at your school, at Meharry. So how did that go?
"Well, the trial is underway. We're evaluating the Novavax COVID-19 vaccine. And, you know, it's a different platform from Pfizer and Moderna. Those were mRNA vaccines. The vaccine that we're evaluating is a common cold virus that's been modified to make some of the SARS-CoV-2 proteins. And so it's an attenuated virus vaccine. And we've enrolled our first 100 or so participants, and thankfully, about 30 to 40% of them are African American. Our goal is to enroll 250 participants, and we think we'll be able to achieve at least half of those who are Black."
So how do you convince a group of people, you know, I guess Black people, people like me, who still are worried? They use the term, "I will not be a guinea pig, you know, let everybody else get this first." And I still continue to hear that. I don't expect to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But I've actually heard some health professionals who are Black say, "You know, I'm just going to let everybody get theirs first." I'm like, really? Wow. You know, I don't know how we're going to turn this page, you know, as a culture.
Here's the thing. How many people need to go first before you would not consider yourself a guinea pig? Is it 1,000? Is it 10,000? Is it 100,000? Is it 1,000,000? Is it 10 million? Either one of those answers, we've already satisfied it. At least 10 million people around the world, and counting, millions every day now, are getting the vaccine. And the history or follow-up to the vaccine is now measured in at least a year, or about a year. Because keep in mind, in the phase one trials that happened in March or April, those individuals are still being observed for reactions or severe reactions. My point is, there's no vaccine that I can think of that has been evaluated like these two have been, and with as many people getting them in as short a time as they've gotten them. So as far as I'm concerned, nobody who gets a vaccine now could possibly consider themselves guinea pigs, given the fact that millions of others have already gotten it. The other thing that people should know is that with most vaccines, almost all the vaccines we're aware of, if there's going to be a severe reaction, adverse reaction, one that causes people to get really sick and put their lives at risk, those normally happen within the first 6 weeks after the injection. And that is why the FDA required 2 months of follow-up in the clinical trials. Now, that's not to say there's no possibility of something happening in a longer term, but given the number of people that have been immunized, given the length of follow-up now cumulatively from 10 million people, I think it's safe to say that nobody should consider themselves guinea pigs at this point. And the technology that's being evaluated, which I've also heard people say, this is new technology. It's really not new technology. mRNA was discovered in 1961, and the first human study was done in 2003. And these same vaccines are being considered for treatment of cancer. So for all those reasons, I don't think that anyone who gets the vaccine should be considered to be guinea pigs. And I certainly wouldn't have recommended my wife, my children, my siblings get it if I had the least bit of concern about the vaccines. I do not.
Dr. James Hildreth is the president and CEO of Meharry Medical College in Nashville, Tennessee. The college kicked off the new year by launching a Novavax COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial. More in a moment. Before we move on in the show, I have a question for you. Are you ready to co-create the world we want to live in? Then I recommend you join the community listening to Our Body Politic, a political podcast that's by and for women of color, with everyone welcome to join the feast. The show offers a new view of the news, making politics personal, with host Farah Chidea, a veteran Black woman journalist who has reported all over the U.S. from Standing Rock to Air Force One and covered every presidential election from 1996. Each week, with her passion and decades of experience, Farah gets real with women you need to hear from, like Senator Tammy Duckworth, Representative Rashida Tlaib, journalist Amna Nawaz, author N.K. Jemisin, and more. So if you want your political news to lift you up and be useful in your daily life, check out Our Body Politic. Subscribe to Our Body Politic wherever you listen to podcasts. So earlier we met Faye Tate Williams, an enthusiastic recipient of the COVID-19 vaccine. Now I want you to meet Curtis and Benita Perkins, a North Carolina couple that jumped at the chance to participate in a COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial. Benita jumped first.
My feeling was there was so much information about all these different studies globally. Everybody was trying to figure this out, that I thought the energy going behind this is so incredible. The brain power is so incredible that my risk reward, I just felt like the ability for me to come through fine was extremely high compared to something terrible happening. Like, I just felt like I would take that bet just because so much attention was drawn on, you know, trying to, you know, heal this thing, do something about it. So that was kind of the impetus for me, you know, filling out the information, not even knowing I'd be picked.
Were you afraid and at all about taking part in a clinical trial?
I had no fear. I went in there like, okay, you Einsteins, all of you. You know, I know that if it's gotten this far, you know, now if you had asked me about being in the first trial or second trial, I'd have to say, but third trial, you've already gone through two levels. I felt pretty comfortable that, you know, the human nature, human spirit, the thing that makes us build the internet and build cars and all these things that we've accomplished was going to really work well for getting this done. I just didn't even have a hesitation. I also felt like it was important as African American. I saw so many notes of, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a guinea pig. I'm not taking that vaccine. They haven't worked on it long enough. And I just felt like, given my mindset, Black people, we need to really, I felt like I need to be an example of the mindset we need to have. We've got enough going on in our health issues on GP. And we're the main ones that, you know, COVID likes. It likes, it wants to eat us. It you know, we are on the downside of that. So I don't even understand why we would doubt that we are the ones that really need to be in front of, you know, trying to keep it from killing us. So I felt it was important that we represented African Americans in trialing it.
Curtis, did you join a clinical trial because your wife was a part of a clinical trial? I mean, did you have your doubts at first and you said, well, maybe it won't be that bad. You know, maybe I should do my part as well. How did that come about?
You know, I go along just certainly to see what's happening, but I too get something out of it. So I appreciate her taking the lead on that sort of thing. But, you know, certainly, you know, coming in contact with others by her taking the first step, you know, the logic is sort of inescapable. If you want to ensure your ability to move around in the world as it is now, you should have this. And if the opportunity presents itself, why not? And a refrain I've heard from a couple of other friends of mine, you know, it's good to see, you know, Black scientists, you know, Black people sort of at the forefront to dispel the notion that, you know, the speed of the vaccine's introduction is a negative. You know, we're at the point where, you know, this sort of thing is available, should be available. I mean, a lot of technologies get overlooked and they already exist. You know, they had this, you know, they had the apps on the phone previously where you could see where the temperature clusters were, things of this sort. Mm. And then from the other side, you have, you know, give me liberty or give me death. You know, this is immaterial in this sort of situation. So it's an odd thing. Everyone wants to be oppressed in some way, the other team, as it were, and it makes no sense. So, you know, the best way to counteract that, and also in talking with some of our older folks, you know, sadly, we've had a lot of bad experiences historically about, you know, being experimented on and things of this sort. You know, we have to move beyond that.
As I record this episode, I have to note that today is special. It's the day Martin Luther King Jr. was born. He would be 92 this year. The national holiday that celebrates his legacy is approaching, a time to think about how this civil rights giant preached about equality for all people in education, voting rights, and health care. It's a nice exercise this time of year as we're reflecting on all that Dr. King did for us to think. What would he be doing and saying today had he lived to lead us through this pandemic moment? What would his message be? Would he join the chorus of community leaders encouraging Black people to get vaccinated? I asked Meharry Medical College President James Hildreth to indulge me with an answer.
Well, Dr. King was one of my heroes, really, and his story is an important part of my own story. And the one thing that I would point out is Dr. King was a true scholar, a very learned person who was always seeking new knowledge. I honestly think that Dr. King would take the body of evidence that we've been able to accumulate about the vaccine, its production, the science underlying the vaccine, and thinking about his famous quote that of all the inequities that there are out there, inequities in health and injustice related to health is the most unacceptable. honestly believe that he would not only take the vaccine, but be encouraging others to do so as well. And in the case of Dr. King, I think that's based on the fact that he was such a scholar and he would do his homework and such a great communicator. Oh my goodness. If anyone could do a good job of communicating this, certainly he could have done that.
That's it for this episode of Tested. Rebecca Martinez and Kaya Findlay produced this show. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. I'm Leonida Inge. Thanks for listening.